B-Pod Studios.
Comic books, video games, anime, sci-fi. If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
Get those nerds!
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 You're listening to Nerd Radio.
All right, we're back with the Nerd Radio podcast, wherever you're getting your podcasts, as part of the B-Pod Studios Network and all over your social media, Nerd Radio 101. Al Beck.
That's right.
James. And
hello.
Chuck Bean hanging out with
you
after a hellish weekend. Not so much as in it was hell, but as in it was extremely busy.
Yeah.
Because it was Motor City Comic Con.
Yes.
Which means you did not go.
Yeah.
You already knew the answer to that.
I'm not even asking.
I was like, you coming out? Yeah. He's like,
I did stuff, though. I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I left home.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. See, this year I felt, and James, you obviously got a chance to check out Motor City Comic Con. This year I felt more Al Beckian than ever.
Really?
Yeah, because there were definitely moments during the weekend that I was like, ugh, people.
Yeah. Look at you over there enjoying your life.
Yeah.
Socializing
with
other human beings.
Sharing interests with your peers. How dare you?
But
sick.
Yeah.
I have to say, through no fault of the con itself, my weekend may not have been as good as I would have liked it to be, but the con itself was fantastic.
Well, that's good.
They expanded the room because they've been building stuff on, and so the artist alley had even more room, and the con was even bigger.
Yeah, more room, more vendors, more artists.
Yeah.
I was blown away. I think there's probably even more room for celebrity guests.
Yeah.
Like in the little celebrity zoo, I call it like the zoo area because they're just like random pseudo celebrities that you can take a picture of, or you can, well, I think they frown upon that.
They get real angry if you just snap a picture of them while you're walking
by. Robin Hood Men in Tights, I saw him freak out on somebody.
Yeah, me too.
One year.
Yeah, I tell people that story all the time.
I was like, wow, you got a pretty big ego for being the guy from Princess Bride and Robin Hood Men in Tights.
I was going to say, that guy?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, I forgot about Saw, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Saw. The stepdad from Liar Liar.
Oh, yeah.
I remember him from Twister, too.
Really? What was he in Twister?
He was like the villain scientist.
Wait a second. See, I've never seen Twister. So
you've never
hold
seen Twister?
Up.
Yeah, wow. No, this is what I think is funny. Like, watching it when I was like 13 or whatever, I just like, yeah, he's the bad guy. And then I watch it like in my 30s and I'm like, still a good movie. I think it holds up. But I'm like, he's just like another scientist who got
he's got more funding.
He's got more funding. And that's really it.
They don't have Dorothy.
He's in it for the money, not the science.
Yeah, like Bill Pullman, man.
How is he the villain scientist? Because when you say there's a villain scientist in Twister, and my mind immediately goes to like Dr. Doom.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I'm going to harness the power of this Twister and annihilate the Earth.
Yeah, no, they've got all
they call him the swirly.
Shiny, blacked out vans. And that's how you know that he's a villain.
That's funny. I think the villain in Twister is actually the Twister, right?
I guess that really would be,
you know, it's kind of weird.
The villain in Twister is the friends we made along the way.
Cow. Another cow.
Yep.
Phil Seymour Hoffman's in that too, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Dusty.
I wanted to make sure it was him in there because I was getting him crossed in Twister and Boogie Nights. Completely different characters.
Completely different.
Similar acting.
Also, yeah, very strange. Twister is the first thing I ever saw Philip Seymour Hoffman in. And then, you know, like, I had to see him in a few more roles before I was like, yeah, this guy really is a great actor. Because, like, his character Dusty in Twister is just so out there. He's so whacked out.
Well, one, he's like he's a fanboy for like weather scientists. And the other movie I'm thinking of, he's a fanboy of a porno star. So.
Yeah. And doesn't he have like his girlfriend or whatever is like banging all these people in Boogie Nights?
I don't think it's his girlfriend. He's just a fan of.
Oh, is it a fan?
I was hoping he wouldn't clarify the movie because I was once again going to imagine that. And just he plays this guy who's
Helen Hunt now! Yeah.
This conversation is going to come up later. I'm letting you know right now.
Okay.
But getting back to Motor City Comic Con, James, what was your experience like?
Oh, man, it was a blast. I had a fun time. Good times. Bumped into my friends from Twisted, Jamie Madrox.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Cool.
Checking out the con. Like, I think it's cool that he goes and checks stuff out, and he's a fan of all the nerdum, just like we are.
For sure.
Met Zach Morris, Mark Paul Gosselaar, complimented my Saved by the Bell shirt. Like,
nice.
I went to this experience, like, I'm not even going to make a connection with this guy. We're just cattle being herded in to get the picture taken so I can get my virtual high fives on Instagram so I can post a pic.
Yeah.
And so we walk up, it's our turn, and he just popped a fresh piece of gum, and he looks at me and chomps. He goes, cool shirt. And I was like, thank you. And then he, like, looked at it again and then instantly turned to the left, posed for the camera, picture was done. I was like, whoa. It was cool. It was a good time, man.
Yeah. You know what you should have done, though? You missed an opportunity to give him a Han Solo. I know.
Oh, my God. I should have.
That would have been great.
Overall, great experience. I mean, the con sucked an extra $120 out of my wallet because they had a custom controller, video game controller booth. I think
did you get one
there.
Of those?
I didn't buy one there because they didn't have the Simpsons donut for the Xbox One.
Okay.
So I took a card.
Yeah.
And I told my girlfriend, I'm like, thank God they didn't have it because I just saved myself $100.
Simpsons donuts. Yep. Pink frosting and sprinkles.
Yeah. Right? Yep. So I took the card. I went home. And then like the next morning, I woke up and
checked the website.
Let me just see if they do have it. And there it was. And so I spent 20 minutes Googling to find like a coupon code.
Yeah.
Found $10 off, then got it. So
$120?
$120, yeah. Whew. Minus 10 bucks, so I'm
it's
all in.
It's not just a skin. It's a full controller.
It's a full controller. Okay.
So that was
they
all
custom
in one
paint
shot.
It and stuff, yeah. So it better. Yeah, it was all in one shot. Don't worry. I spent $30 on boxer shorts. I got some Ghostbusters boxer shorts, some Goonies boxer shorts, and I picked up a Blu-ray, Rotten Tail. It's like a killer Easter Bunny flick.
Yeah, Source Point Press.
Yeah, Source Point Press, like a local company that puts out comics and some movies and stuff. Okay.
We've had a lot of like Casey Pierce, Dirk Manning, all work for Source Point Press.
Okay,
I bumped into Josh, the guy that owns Source Point Press or whatever. And
yeah,
he's a cool guy and wanted to help support it. And he told me about the movie. I was like, I got to check this out.
Yeah, for sure.
So, but yeah, overall, Motor City Comic Con, I think this year blew the past years away. Like I would just. Bigger, the expanded thing. I don't know. Did you guys go to like any of the? I know you and Amy were there.
Yep.
Did you go to any of the panels or anything? Because I think that
did not
that was
a chance.
Upstairs, right?
So they have a new upstairs area where they had the artist alley where there's a balcony, and that's where I took like one of the pictures I stuck on Instagram, which was really kind of cool because if you got tired, you could kind of just go upstairs and just watch the ants marching around the con, which is kind of fun.
And where was this? Was it in Novi? Or
the Suburban Collection.
Suburban.
Okay. But they had one room up there that was open, and it was for trivia.
Okay.
All the panels and stuff were over by where the hotel is, which is where they usually are.
Oh, okay. See, I've never been to a panel at the Motor City Comic Con, so.
My time was extremely limited every day because I also had some shifts to cover here.
Yeah.
Over the weekend.
It always falls on, what was Rock in the Range, now it's Sonic Temple.
Yep.
So, Chuck would love to take just time off, but it's impossible.
It's literally the weekend
operating on a skeleton crew over here.
It's literally the weekend where I'm needed almost the most.
Yeah. It's like the one weekend they signed you up for. They're like, we need you this weekend.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's and it's the one weekend I don't want to work.
It's always the same weekend.
It's not like every couple of years. It's always the same weekend.
Yeah, I know what you guys are talking about because I deal with my mom's birthday at the same time.
Yeah.
Mom's birthday and Mother's Day. And then I got Sonic Temple and then Motor City Comic Con are always all within
just
that
all
same
crammed
week.
Together.
Yeah, it's like I got to pick and choose. Mom's birthday is always going to happen. And then it's always like, should we go to the music fest? Should we go to the Comic Con?
Right.
Because I'm old. And grumpy, it usually is the Comic-Con because I don't have to like leave the house for more than a few hours.
Right.
Yeah, you get to go home at the end of the night. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For sure. Plenty of awesome cosplay out there. I saw one of my favorites was.
Did you cosplay this year?
Very barely.
Like casual Spider-Man or something?
Yeah, the Spider-Man from Into the Spider-Verse because I did that at Free Comic Book Day, so I still have like the shirt.
Sure.
And then I've been wearing the jacket for like a month now. It's real comfy.
Oh,
it's just my jacket now.
It was a costume, but now it's actually my jacket.
Yeah. But yeah, that was kind of fun. I saw a couple of different girls dressed as Squirrel Girl, and every one of them like just nailed the costume.
Oh,
perfectly.
That's cool.
I told one of them, I was like, "You look perfect." She's like, "Oh, thanks. It's my first cosplay." I'm like, "Well, you're already killing it."
Yeah.
Can't wait to see number two. Did you see the guy with the Bumblebee costume?
No, but I saw the Bumblebee costume.
Oh man, I was like, "That's sweet." He was like taking it off in the lobby as I was walking in. Like, I wish I could have seen him walking around with it on.
Each day I was there, I saw a different Transformer. Like on Friday, there was somebody walking around as Shockwave.
Really?
The purple dude that turned into a gun.
An adult or a child?
An adult.
Okay, because I saw a little kid Shockwave.
And then I think Sunday I saw Astro Train from the cartoon walking around. And I was like, you look awesome.
That's cool.
But I did see the Bumblebee costume. Like the dude took it off because he was warm or something like that and was sitting down. So it was just in a heap over there and I wanted to get Amy.
It's huge because I'm assuming he's got to have like those like drywall stilts or whatever.
Stilts.
Like he's got to be on stilts of some sort.
Yeah.
It's just a huge, massive costume. Like,
right.
Very impressed.
Absolutely. I was impressed that Henry Winkler had a line every time I walked by his booth.
Did he really?
Every single time.
Hey.
People were there to see the Fonz.
Dude, the Fonz is, and plus he's just awesome. Like, I love
Henry
Winkler.
No, everybody that talked to him said he was a great dude.
And he's so good on Barry. So that's a current project that he's working on.
Right. Well, he was in I loved him in Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec.
He's fantastic. Or
Arrested Development.
Arrested Development. Yeah. For sure.
It's funny. I had to use Henry Winkler as like a way to describe who Zach Morris was.
Okay.
So you guys know Joel.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's probably been on. He's been on the podcast before in the past.
So, Rock Detroit, Joel. Yeah, man. The Joel, party dude, man.
Joel is the best.
Joel is a character, man. He is so cool.
So I'm trying to tell Joel because Joel's like, hey, I'm going to come along with you guys. I'm like, dude, just know at 5 o'clock we got to go meet Zach Morris. And he's like, I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
So to put it in perspective, I was like, okay. Henry Winkler's the Fonz for you. Okay. Zach Morris is the Fonz of my generation. It all made sense from that point on. He's like, I get you now.
Yeah.
I get it, Brother James. I understand.
Go see your Fonzie, man. Yeah. Go see your Fonzie. I'll be over here with my Fonzie.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's awesome. They did have a little Fonzie. You know, mentioned Arrested Development. I remember watching through that again recently, and he's a. In the bathroom as the lawyer, and he's going to comb his hair, and he stops and does the, hey.
Looks
like, I was like, dude, it's from the intro to Happy Days. It's a little Easter egg right there. I loved it.
All right, so while we're on the subject of bathrooms.
Okay.
Is mine coming up again?
I don't know if you were aware of this, James, but one of the people that I was talking to in Artist Alley that I picked up a print from was telling me that Saturday, the Artist Alley kind of got the brunt of any of the announcements that were coming over the loudspeaker. Like, you could clearly hear stuff, which is hard for them because they're trying to sell prints or stickers or buttons or whatever like that.
They're trying to negotiate.
At some point Saturday, an announcement came over asking, could so-and-so, it was a particular woman, like they named somebody, can so-and-so please come to the front desk and collect your husband?
No.
And from what they were telling me, they called this woman to the front desk so that they could inform her that her husband and her were no longer welcome at Motor City Comic Con because they had found him in the bathroom masturbating.
It can't be the first time this happened, though, right?
Yeah, it's the kind of thing, like, you hear the story and you're like, I mean, you're getting a couple thousand socially awkward people, you know, to, like, this.
Well, somebody obviously nailed the Slave Leia costume.
Yeah, exactly.
He took notice.
I don't know what he might have been masturbating to.
I feel like.
However, the reason I tell you this story is because when I got there Saturday at, like, 3 or 4 in the afternoon, I immediately had to use a bathroom. Like, I didn't even check in with press. I went right for the bathroom. So I walk in the bathroom and Leslie Baker, who plays Stanley on The Office,
is
coming out of the stall. And like,
The
guy in front of me in line is like, hey, Stanley, I love you in The Office. And I'm like, dude, come on. He's taking a piss, man. Leave him alone.
I stutter?
You're right.
Continue.
I get in the stall and I sit down and I'm doing my business. And then I heard a security guard come into the bathroom and like make a sweep.
Anyone jerking in here?
He's like pounding on the doors.
So I don't know.
Hands off your wiener.
I didn't hear any. I didn't hear any disturbance. But I don't
disturbance.
I don't think I was in the bathroom that it happened in. But I think I possibly after it had happened.
Brisk rustling.
What probably happened was the dude got busted. We got a full jerker sweep. Full jerker sweep. Check all the bathrooms. Knock on all the stalls.
Exactly.
Jerker sweep right now. Get him out of here.
But you know what? They handled it professionally.
That's good.
You know, kicking the dude out. Please give him that.
Please come collect your husband. And then when you show up, get out of here, you jerker.
You are done.
And I feel real bad for the guy in the Artist Alley, right under the loudspeaker, trying to sell his Archie comics.
Would be wife of the jerker, please. Well, it's probably the guy that's probably really embarrassed is the guy who sells all the sexy pinups of all the female comic characters. Because that one gets my attention. I'm like, wow, some of these are very sexually explicit.
Right? No, the dude
waits for my girlfriend to walk away. So be like, oh, give me the Harley Quinn Poison Ivy scissoring one. Thank you very much. Yeah.
The dude that was telling us about it in Artist Alley, like, Amy immediately was like, yeah, I know, I've seen a couple booths. I'm pretty sure I know which one he was in before he did.
No offense to the guy referencing. I love your booth. But your artwork is fantastic.
Right.
But some of the scenes are very sexually explicit.
That being said, though, was there a man at your booth who was staring at it for a while and went, I'll be right back.
Yeah. Anybody pitching a tent when they walked away? Going camping in the men's room?
I gotta go.
Oh, man. Well, I'm glad.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine being that guy's wife, though? Oh my God.
That was what I told you about this a couple days ago on
she's
Monday.
Like,
morning.
I can't take him anywhere.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And you were, yeah, I think you had the best take on it. Is like she was probably just happy to not have to be around him for whatever length of time before she got called up.
She's like, finally, you got some relief.
Yeah.
And I got a break.
Yeah. She's probably over there just like, oh my God, thank God. He's off doing something. Who knows what? Are they calling my name on the loudspeaker?
Oh, no.
Well, I'm glad you explained why you were letting us know about this, because I got worried when you're like, I just want to let you know why I told you this, because I thought you were going to say, because you thought I'd be a suspect of somebody who'd be a bathroom jerker.
No.
And say, geez, man, I know I got a weird reputation, but...
Can we have Cody up to the front, please, yeah. Cody?
We need a Cody. Come collect your boyfriend. Please come collect your boyfriend quickly,
yeah.
Before we call the police. And you put him on the list.
Yeah. No, I did not suspect that at all. I was super pumped. The highlight of my con has to be the fact that there were two comic-related items that walking in. I'm going to find these, and I'm going to see how much they are. And as long as they're not grossly expensive, I'm going to buy them. In fact, there was a third item that I didn't find that I've seen at con previously that I decided if it is the price it was the last time I saw it and decided that is too expensive, I'll just buy it. I'll just get it.
You come to terms with the price.
That was not there. That item was not there. However, I need to take this moment to thank Mike Gagliano once again for last summer giving us a whole bunch of comics, because he gave me a whole bunch of X-Men comics, which gave me a whole bunch of New Mutants comics that I'm super pumped about now. But it was missing this first issue of a particular artist's run on New Mutants, and I got it for about like $5 or $6. So I was like, yeah.
Nice.
Complete my collection. And then there's this...
Is there a Warpath Sun on the cover?
What is that? No, it's a different Indian X-Men.
Oh, okay. A different Native American X-Men.
Different Native American. Okay. And then I picked up this book, too, which I've seen in dollar boxes in years previous, but because of the X-Men podcast that I listen to very frequently now, I was like, oh, that has Jamie McKelvey on art, and I love his art. I need to go and find this.
That's Dennis Hopeless, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it's called. It was called X-Men Season 1 when it was a hardcover. Now it's called. It's got a different title, but it's neat. It's kind of a retelling of the first team of X-Men from Marvel Girls' perspective.
May I ask what that third item is? That
There is an issue of Hellblazer, John Constantine.
Yeah,
that was written by Neil Gaiman, and it's the only one that Neil Gaiman wrote. And the last time I saw it, it was $20.
Oh, gotcha.
And I went, I'm not paying $20. I did the same thing with the first appearance of Gambit for years. Like I had. All my Uncanny X-Men's except the first appearance of Gambit, and it was like $20, and I'm like, I'm not spending $20 on one comic. And eventually I spent $18 on that one comic.
Hey, you held out.
You saved $2.
You held out.
Yeah. Saved $2.
Adjust for inflation, and you spent $5 more.
You should do that. Yeah, give you like your own show, like the Thrifty Comic Collector.
If I was better at it, then for sure.
Well, you gotta start out, it'd be your pilot episode. You save $2 on the original Gambit.
But speaking of Motor City Comic Con, we had a fantastic time. I want to thank the people that had us out. We look forward to doing it again next year. And we're going to bridge right into, I got an interview with Henry Thomas, who was Elliot in E.T., as well as was in Haunting of Hill House.
Elliot.
As well as Brian Baumgartner, who was Kevin on The Office. So we're gonna shunt you over to those interviews right now, and then we'll come back with more Nerd Radio.
It's Chuck Bean from 101 The Riff and Nerd Radio out at Motor City Comic Con. I'm standing here with Brian Baumgartner.
This is Nerd Radio?
This is Nerd Radio.
Why am I being interviewed on Nerd Radio?
Well, it's Nerd Radio because nerds are into everything now.
Oh, that's true.
We're into TV shows, we're into movies, we're
that's
into music
true.
And everything.
There you go.
I'm talking to Brian Baumgartner, who you may remember as Kevin from The Office. You were also in Adventure Time.
I was.
Which is fantastic.
Yes.
Is this your first time over at Motor City Comic Con?
It is.
Okay. And
yes.
It's just Friday, so it's early days.
It is.
So far, in the first hour or two.
In the first hour, it's been amazing.
You dig it.
Yes.
That's
excellent. Good. Yes.
Is it the kind of thing, doing comic conventions or doing conventions in Is it the kind of thing you ever envisioned?
No.
While you were doing, like,
never,
The Office?
Never. And even, when the show ended, it was like, we're not a comic book. But obviously, what you just said, Comic Con has changed in terms of what kind of people come in. And there's the horror franchises, the comedy franchises seem to be making up almost as much as just straight comic book stuff.
Right. Now, are you at all a comic book fan?
No.
Not at all. Okay.
I mean, I
you
no,
don't hate them.
No, I don't hate. I appreciate.
I am
definitely no. And I think the animated shows I feel like that are creative and especially that, not just because I work in comedy, but that have found a special voice in terms of that.
Sure.
I really appreciate it. But I'm into way more, say, Deadpool
okay.
than the Avengers franchise.
All right. So is there, if you, because comic book movies and television shows are everywhere now. Everybody's getting a comic book character or something like that.
Yes.
Is there a role that that strikes you? You're like, I'd like to be that guy.
Superman.
Superman? I could see it. Yeah. what's the next time we can see you on our screens?
I am working on a new animated show for Netflix.
Okay.
That will be out next year with a... launching with a ton of episodes, so it'll be about a 2-year project in the making. I have a movie coming out Labor Day weekend at the end of the summer.
Fantastic. And that's going to be in theaters.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thanks for coming to Motor City Comic Con, Brian.
Thanks so much.
It was great
pleasure.
To talk to
you. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Hi, it's Brian Baumgartner. I played Kevin in The Office, and you're listening to Nerd Radio.
It's Chuck Bean back at Motor City Comic Con for Nerd Radio, and I'm sitting here with Henry Thomas, who you may remember from quite a few horror movies,
yes.
I have to say.
Yes.
Most recently, The Haunting of Hill House on Netflix.
Yes, indeed.
That you were in, but also originally from E.T.
Yes.
How are you experiencing the con so far?
It's great, yeah. I mean, I've never been to Detroit before.
Okay.
So that's exciting, and I hope I get to see more of it than the convention
sure.
floor and the
yeah,
and
maybe,
the hotel
maybe
room.
Later on tonight.
Maybe
it's
later.
Closed down.
Maybe later.
Get some dinner or something like that.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to try.
Most Detroit people would tell you, technically, you still haven't been to Detroit. You're in Novi.
Yeah, exactly.
But right. It's a nice place to be.
It is.
So I got to say. When you started, I noticed in your, like, looking over your IMDb, you do a lot of horror movies or shows. Of that realm. Is that something you consciously go towards? Or
no,
is
it
just...
no. It's, it's partly because Mike Flanagan is a friend of mine.
Okay.
And he hires me in all of his projects, and he works extensively in horror.
Sure.
And also Mick Garris, who is a friend of mine, who's hired me a few times. He also directs horror.
Okay.
So it was just kind of luck, really.
Right.
But those are the only two directors who have consistently hired me for more than one project.
Okay.
So that sort of added up really quickly on my credits list. Yeah.
Sure. Now, with the Netflix, The Haunting of Hill House, you, having done a couple of movies, obviously, before doing something for Netflix, did there seem like there was any difference in the production while you were doing it?
No, the production always is the same.
Okay.
You know? It's just, you notice things like, differences in budgets on smaller films and bigger
sure.
shows and things like that. But... But really, like, the nuts and bolts of making something has not changed at all since my involvement in the 80s.
Okay.
You know, it hasn't sped up or slowed down or
right.
or changed despite going digital. And,
right.
It's still the same when you're on a film set.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I got two more questions for you. One of them, specifically because you were in a Ouija movie.
Yes.
I need you to confirm for me, because having done a movie about the Ouija board, I look to you as much more of an authority than I am. My theory is that there is no story involving a Ouija board that ends well.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say that is a...
I will take you as
that is a... That is an astute assumption.
I have an ongoing argument with my girlfriend. She's like, we should get Ouija board, or let's team with the Ouija boards on. I was like, no. No.
No,
no story of the Ouija board ever ends well.
We're
nobody
keeping
ever,
those out of the house.
Nobody ever summons grandma, and then things go well, and she just makes you ghost dinner, ghost breakfast forever.
No.
That's not how this works.
No. Unless you live in Hill House in the Red Room.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, and then it's tea parties every day.
The last thing I want to ask you, I'm asking everybody this year at Motor City Comic Con, with the advent of the superheroes being everywhere now, they're in TV shows, they're in movies, they're in everywhere, is there any role you can think of that they could put in a superhero, in a Marvel or a DC movie, that you're like, I want to be that guy? That's a role I want.
Yeah, I would like I would like to be culinary man.
Culinary man?
Yeah.
Okay.
Where I can just, I can manifest amazing gourmet meals.
Fantastic.
Just out of thin air.
Maybe they could film it a little bit like Hell's Kitchen, something like that. It's almost like a documentary, but it's not.
Right.
You're following culinary man.
Exactly.
Excellent.
Yeah, he's saving people from bad food.
Thanks so much for talking to me, Henry.
Thanks very
much. I hope you have a fantastic con.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Nerd Radio.
Okay, magic cards, go.
Yeah, magic cards, they're pieces of cardboard, and you play them on the ground, and people play cards against you, and first one to go down to 20 wins from 20.
All right, thanks for listening to Nerd Radio, and we out.
That's all we got.
Welcome back. It's Nerd Radio on social media at Nerd Radio 101, as well as all over your podcast app, wherever you're on, wherever you get your podcast, whether it's on iTunes or Spotify or Stitcher or every place, as well as the podcast page at WRIF.com. Chuck Bean sitting in with Mr. Kyle, Mr. GK.
Hello.
And we talked a little bit of War of the Spark a couple of weeks ago.
When
it came out, the new Magic the Gathering set, but you texted me a couple days ago, and you were like, there's so much more to talk about.
No, yes, there is.
So much more to talk about, so I'm like, well, come on back in.
So, War of the Spark is the new Magic the Gathering standard set, I should say. It's the standard set release that they do, and it's kind of important. So, with all the crazy nerd stuff, you've got Game of Thrones.
Right.
You've got Avengers Endgame.
Yep.
Well, Wizards of the Coast has their own response to that, and that's War of the Spark, which is the culmination of a almost 10-year storyline, or maybe not that long, but at least 7 years in the making, where Nicol Bolas, the Elder Dragon, is fighting against the Justice... Oh, wait. Not the Justice League.
The Avengers.
The Gate Watch, as they call it in the game. And it's a really fun set. They have over 36 Planeswalkers in the set with a special promo Planeswalker that only you could get if you pre-ordered a full booster box.
Okay.
So 37 total, if you want to count that one. And man, you have Planeswalkers are normally reserved for the Mythic slot.
Right.
You have them in Mythic, Rare, and Uncommon slots.
Right.
So it has made I don't know if it'll change the game per se, but Standard is going to be interesting.
Yeah, Planeswalkers are definitely going to play a larger role in the game going forward. Because there's much more of them. And even I've experienced that playing just Magic the Gathering Arena, which we'll touch on in a little bit. But I remember when the set was coming out, you'd mentioned something along the lines of like, there's supposed to be a Planeswalker in like every pack.
Yes,
and there's absolutely not.
Confirmed. There is a Planeswalker in every single pack you open. Either your rare slot will be a Planeswalker or one of your uncommon slots will have a Planeswalker.
I've opened a couple of packs in Arena and I don't think I've gotten a Planeswalker.
It might be different for Arena.
It might be different for Magic Arena.
Yes, for Arena, it's completely different because you don't get the actual 15 cards, which is kind of
that's true. Okay,
annoying.
I didn't think about that.
You know,
so
it is kind of
what's
annoying.
Going on there.
I wish they did that in Arena, but
right.
They for balance issues, I'm sure that's why they did it.
Right.
But real life paper Magic, there's a Planeswalker in every single pack.
Excellent.
There is also the chance to get a double Planeswalker pack, which I have gotten to experience both watching box openings on YouTube and also from my own personal experience opening my box a couple weeks ago. I got double Nissa who shakes the world or awakens the world.
Okay. So you get two of the same Planeswalker in a pack?
Yeah, sometimes you'll get special packs where it's double of the same Walker. You get a non-foil and a foil, and it's really cool.
Interesting.
But it's been confirmed because I saw two YouTubers open double Sarkhan,
right,
and which is red Planeswalker who turns into dragons, and so and I opened Nyssa. So it's really, really cool. But down to the gameplay is that Planeswalkers are a little bit slower. They can't attack. They're just kind of like enchantments. They sit there, but they have abilities that
they
you can
give
do.
You really good abilities. Correct. You can do one. Isn't it once per turn?
Once per turn. Yep. There are cards that have come out, not in this set, but in other sets and in supplementary product that let you use Planeswalkers abilities more than once or even at instant speed on someone else's turn, which is really unique, but
right.
That's not going to be in standard. There's only one card that allows you two activations a turn, and that is a card called Oath of Teferi from a couple sets ago in Dominaria.
Okay, so you've said you've opened a box of this.
Yes.
Of War of the Spark. What are the cards for the people at home who are looking to buy these packs? What are the cards they should be looking for when they open a pack? What are the big cards, either money-wise or play-wise?
You're going to want to look for Nicol Bolas Dragon God, who is a 5-mana planeswalker. He is in the Grixis color combination, which is blue, black, and red, which is his colors. They've always been his colors ever since. Legends.
Yeah.
Yes, Legends. And he is actually kind of nuts. If we look on, let's go to my handy-dandy app here for the set. If you look at it, he says, oh my God, he's a gold card. So
yeah,
you only have, going over the set, so there's, like I said, there's 36 planeswalkers. You have only 3 mythics. But going back to Bolas, so a really cool thing about this set is that they had to, because there's so many walkers, they had to change how they perceived planeswalkers.
I would imagine.
So now, when you have a planeswalker in play, the planeswalkers from this set specifically all have a static, always turned on passive ability.
Okay.
So Nicol Bolas, his static ability is Nicol Bolas Dragon God has all loyalty abilities of all other planeswalkers on the battlefield.
And what's a loyalty ability?
So a loyalty ability is like if you plus one or minus one or alt them, which is like a really powerful effect.
So if you have a bunch of other planeswalkers on the field, you can do any of the stuff they can do.
Correct. So if your opponent has, let's say, the Sarkhan, he can turn a planeswalker into a dragon. You can turn Nicol Bolas into a dragon and then attack for 4 damage. His plus one is you draw a card and each opponent exiles a card from play or from their hand. He can blow up creatures or planeswalkers, and then his ultimate ability is actually kind of evil. Each opponent who doesn't control a legendary creature or planeswalker loses the game.
Oof.
So, and you have just all these kinds of crazy walkers. Let's look at that's one rare you're going to want to look for. You're also going to want to look for Teferi Time Raveler, which if you're a longtime Magic fan, you'll remember who Teferi is. His static ability is each opponent casts spells only anytime they could cast a sorcery. So he slows down your opponent to only main phase turns. And it
kind of stops your opponent from saying no. Doing counter spells
He tells your opponents no by saying no.
Right.
And so he's about $20. Nicol Bolas has actually gone down in the last couple of days. He's sitting pretty at between $20 and $30. One of the other landmark important characters of the set is someone who a lot of mainstream Magic fans might remember is Liliana. She's the Black Line Planeswalker. She's super awesome. And so she says, whenever a creature you control dies, you draw a card. And then she makes a zombie. She makes each player sacrifice 2 creatures. And then her ultimate is just as nasty as Nicol Bolas, where she each opponent chooses a permanent. They control of each permanent type, and they sacrifice the rest. So you choose one land, one planeswalker, one enchantment, etc. And you only get one of those, and then you have to put the rest in your graveyard. So very, very, it's like I think they call it a equilibrium type ability, which is really powerful. But we've seen probably one of my favorite cards in the set, Chandra, is another one. If you're a fan of red, you're going to want to find her. She lets you impulsively draw, which means exile the top card of your library. You may play that card this turn.
Okay.
That's and then cool thing is if she ever gets attacked, she deals that much damage to an opponent or player.
Interesting.
So it's really kind of cool. You have Planeswalkers at every slot, and some of my favorite cards in the set are the God Eternals, which going back a couple sets ago, they went to a Egyptian stylized plane of Amonkhet.
Right.
A lot of bad things happened there. Poor Amonkhet. But there was five monocolored gods that only four of them died. The red one did not die. And I have a commander deck built around her. But they all do something really cool. And when they die or get exiled, you literally shuffle them back into your deck.
Interesting.
So it's kind of, they're always there kind of in a pseudo kind of way. And
I feel like I played a game of Arena against somebody that had like the blue one, because every time I would knock him out, he would go right back like, on top of the deck so they could get him back again.
Yep. That's probably God Eternal Kefnet, which is really powerful. One of the most expensive cards in the set right now, sitting at around $30.
Well, I don't know if you remember the last time we got together and we talked, I talked about, you know, I'm playing Magic essentially just in Arena because I don't have to spend a bunch of money to play Arena. And I was talking about how since the set came out, my win-loss record is kind of plummeted.
Yeah.
I've been taking a lot of losses. I think I may have figured out why. I have not bought packs.
Well,
I have essentially been playing with just starter decks this entire time. And it just occurred to me over the weekend when I'd taken like my sixth or seventh loss in a row. And I'm like, man, what the hell is going on? And then I looked at my, you know, like constantly doing the daily to get some coinage and realized I could buy like 89 packs right now. I should probably buy some packs.
Oh, you've just been collecting coin?
I've just been collecting coin. I haven't been buying any packs whatsoever.
Yeah, buy those packs, man. They're yours. The cool thing about that is that, you know, you can switch back and forth between all the packs that are legal right now, and it's super cool. But
yeah,
this set is just chocked full. The rares are cool. There's another... a lot of these uncommon walkers, funny enough, are making more impact
than the top rare ones.
It's actually really kind of funny. Someone called them plane enchantments because they're planeswalkers, but they literally sit there like enchantments.
Right.
One is, she's mono blue, and she literally, your opponent can't draw more than one card each turn, and then she can give you a card if you minus her. So it's just, this set is chock full of really cool cards.
There's more cards in it than just planeswalkers.
Oh yes,
because everything you covered is just planeswalkers. So there's,
besides the planeswalkers,
there's some spells in there, and there's some other stuff, some regular creatures in there too.
Yes, there's like I said, I mentioned the there's gods in the set again. They have some phenomenal spells like this creature. It's an illusion. It's a rare. It's called Spark Double. When it comes into play, you can copy a creature or a planeswalker you control, only it comes in with a counter or an additional loyalty counter on it, and it isn't a legendary permanent. So you can copy your planeswalker, which is kind of nuts. There's only one other card in Magic called, I can't remember the name of it. I saw it this morning when I was at home, but it's insane. So there's creatures like that. They have some really cool, they have a really cool set of sorceries called the finales, which are kind of brutal.
Well, they're called finales. I imagine they're made to finish the game.
One is called, the black one is called Finale of Eternity, and it says destroy up to three target creatures with toughness X or less, and they're all X spells too. And if X is 10 or more, return all creature cards from your graveyard to the battlefield.
Oof.
It's kind of nuts.
That kind of finishes the game for sure.
And then the green one, which is one of the ones that I have in one of my decks at home, you can search your library or graveyard for a creature card with converted mana cost X or less. But if X is 10, you put it into play, and then your creatures all get plus X equal to and haste. So it's just kind of, some of these cards are nuts.
Yeah.
All the Gatewatch characters, all the main characters, like Liliana, Chandra, and Jace, they all have triumph cards in Amonkhet, Hour of Devastation. They had defeat cards. There's a bond cycle, which are the guilds uniting of Ravnica and doing some cool things. They've got some really cool, there was some enchantment that I absolutely loved.
All right, well, while you look it up, there's one more thing I wanted to cover before we take off today, and that's the Magic the Gathering, the pro, Yuya Watanabe.
Yes.
Was recently, he was disqualified from a tournament, and he was taken out of their Hall of Fame as well.
Yes.
Banned from the game and taken out of their Hall of Fame for what they believe to be cheating during a championship tournament. I'm sure you're very familiar with this.
Oh, yes. I woke up to news of this. Yuya Watanabe, he was at the Mythic Championship 2.
Right.
In London, and his deck got randomly selected for a deck check during this championship, and they saw Nyx on... They saw the sleeves.
On the back of the sleeves, he's got these,
he's
like,
got
these little pressure
Nyx thing, pressure Nyx.
In the
and
corners.
They're like, what's this? And he's like, I don't know, it must have been, like, you know, the way I'm, like, pressing my cards. And they're like, well, how can this be possible? And
they were on Urza lands, right?
They were on specifically all of his Urza lands, and... They had a bunch of judges checking them and, like, watching footage. They asked him, like, who's had access to your deck? Like, so it just, you know, they're like, dude, no, we can't have this. And they made a really big example out of him. They not only revoked his MPL status as a pro, but they also removed his Hall of Fame status.
Right.
And
isn't he banned from the...
For 30 months, he's banned from
all... For 30 months.
He's DCI banned. Cannot play in any sanctioned event for 30 months.
Now, I've seen pictures of the cards in question that are supposed to be marked. I'm sure you have as well.
I have, yep.
Do you think they were marked, or do you think it may have actually been kind of innocent?
I'm sorry, but you don't bend the corners and then, like, take your nail and put, like, a cross in the corner of the card.
Okay.
For no reason.
Right.
You know, I'm sorry. Like, I love a lot of the pros, and kudos to them for, you know, making this part of their life and culture. But no, you don't cheat. It's a card game, dude.
Right.
Your life, it's not life or death usually, and you shouldn't be cheating.
For sure.
So,
all right.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming in. Thanks for giving us a little bit of a little bit more background in War of the Spark and talking some Magic the Gathering. We'll have you in again real soon.
Absolutely.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Whenever I'm about to do something, I think, would an idiot do that? And if they would, I do not do that thing.
Hope you cleared out your DVR. We're back with more Nerd Radio.
Oh, I've wasted my life.
Welcome back to the Nerd Radio podcast, all over social media at Nerd Radio 101. And, of course, on the B-Pod Studios Network, wherever you're getting your podcast. James Albeck and Chuck Bean, also part of this show. I'm going to be talking to
Kyle. You may
have
felt like we were one person.
I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, James Albeck.
James Albeck. We've combined into one. We're like one, like a monster with two heads.
That's what I say when I'm very angry at you, like a mother. James Albeck.
Exactly.
Too much potty talk. Not enough nerdom.
Yeah, there was a lot of potty talk in our earlier episode.
Our earlier segment. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Get caught drinking at the Comic-Con. Okay?
Yep.
Well, right now, you're going to call it War of the Sparks. It doesn't sound very impressive.
It's just Sparks.
War of the Sparks.
Spark of War.
Okay, I got my little fire, my little flint and steel.
Yep. Well, speaking of things that sparkle, let's start with the big news.
Oh, man.
Last week, Robert Pattinson.
Oh. Oh, that
cast as Batman.
I could commend your segue.
Batman. You like it?
It's almost professional.
Almost.
Wow.
Almost. I did get some sleep between the last shift and the next shift. So I'm not saying I'm making good decisions, but I have the brain capacity to make better decisions than typical.
Yeah.
Everyone's got opinions, man. How do you guys feel about this?
I mean, I'm not crazy about the idea, but I don't necessarily hate it either.
Yeah.
I mean, it might be okay.
Right.
I hated when Ben Affleck was announced. I hated it.
True.
And then I went and I saw that movie, and it was terrible, and it wasn't his fault. I actually thought Ben Affleck did a good job as Batman.
I'm with you. I agree. I mean, I was really worried about Affleck being Batman.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed the movie still, and I thought he did a killer job as Batman / Bruce Wayne. Like, he's more...
Sure.
He's perfect for Bruce Wayne, I feel. Like, he's, you know, kind of a rich doucher, yeah. You know? Like, he fits that perfectly. Robert Pattinson as Batman, I think the only thing dumber involving Batman in this is putting nipples on the bat suit. It's the only thing I think that's dumber than him being cast as Batman. Yeah. But again, who knows what'll happen.
Right.
You know, I'll judge once I see the movie, but I don't have high expectations.
Yeah, I don't have any prejudices going into it. Like, I'm not going into this going like, oh, well, this is going to be terrible because Robert Pattinson is Batman.
Yeah, we got to see how it all comes together with the writer and the director and all that stuff. But
it's not like, you know, when we found out that Joaquin Phoenix is going to be the Joker, and I was like, oh, I like him. That movie might be bad and he might be terrible as the Joker, but I'm going into it going like, I can't wait to see what he does with that character.
Yeah. Sure.
I'm excited to see it. Not crazy about the makeup, but hey, you know what? Maybe his performance will win it over. I don't know. But I'm excited to see Robert Pattinson. I'm not excited to see. If it's bad, I'll be like, yeah, well, I kind of, you know, whatever. Yep. I, you know, I won't be let down if it's bad.
Your expectations will be met.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, I also, I'm not in an uproar over it. Like, I'm not
upset.
You're
not invested.
No, I'm not mad about it. I'm not, you know, and I don't know. I feel ever since the Christopher Nolan Dark Knight trilogy, mm-hmm. I've been nothing, I feel like, but let down by DC movies. You know, I mean, Shazam was fun.
Yeah, and you talked about movies after those. Were you not a fan of the Nolan trilogy?
No. I was a fan of Christopher.
Okay, so you're saying everything that's come out after that. Okay, I'm with you. I kind of get it.
And
I've enjoyed some of them. But
the most fun with the last two, with Aquaman and Shazam.
Shazam.
But I wasn't crazy about Wonder Woman.
No.
I did not like Batman versus Superman. And again, I thought Ben Affleck did a good job. And I actually thought him as Batman, it was kind of that brooding, like, I don't really give an F about you or anyone else around you, is kind of how he's written in the comics these days.
Right.
So I felt like his portrayal of Batman really fit who Batman is. So I actually think he did a great job, but I just haven't been crazy. Suicide Squad, according to, you know, my opinion anyway.
Well, I've seen plenty of course, there are multiple fan petitions online, which is a whole another conversation that we can get into that I'm sure maybe next week we can get into in depth.
Ban the GoFundMes and ban the petitions, please. For the love of God, just stop.
But I did see somebody
like the Game of Thrones petition. It's not going to happen.
No one's going to redo it. And I don't know. I don't want to take any of your thunder away. So you keep going, because there's a petition that I've seen online that I think is hilarious.
But there's also. Somebody on Twitter had posted a picture of Robert Pattinson and then a picture of Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
And after those two pictures, they posted a picture from a screenshot from Batman Beyond.
Okay.
And that would be amazing if you got Robert Pattinson to be the young man.
That's what people were saying.
Yeah. That he plays Batman Beyond. And then you get Michael Keaton to come back as an old Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
Now that would be great.
That would be cool.
That would be really neat to see.
My favorite thing to see on the internet involving this is the pink sparkly Batman from the Batman Lego movie.
From the Lego movie?
Yeah.
That is fantastic.
That's my favorite meme.
That is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. I'll see. I mean, I'm... Whatever. I've only ever seen him in two different roles, though, so I really don't know what his range is as an actor.
I've seen people who are big Robert Pattinson movies, like, posting 6 or 7 pictures of him in different movies saying, he's a good actor. I'm like, oh, okay. I've only ever seen him be a sparkly vampire.
He's a vampire, and he's also in one of the Harry Potter movies. He's got a very small role, Cedric Diggory.
Right.
Very small role, but...
I'm sorry, Al knows his name and everything.
I like Harry Potter.
Okay.
I'll own that. I don't care.
That's fine. Yeah,
I've read the books.
Right.
And I've seen all the movies.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Now I feel like a real
good job.
Little piece of crap.
Meet him at the Porky.
Sorry. It's weird for me, a grown man, to be. I'm sorry. I know I'm into weird stuff, but.
Oh.
And then the grown man, he's like owning it. He's like, yeah, I love Harry Potter.
Right. Nerd Radio is a judgment-free zone.
I know, it's a safe space. I know. You can love Harry Potter here.
Al,
it's
support your love of Harry Potter and your love of the character that Robert Pattinson plays. Whatever. What's his name again?
Cedric Diggory.
Your love of Cedric Diggory. Hickory Diggory Doc.
Yeah.
Good news, Ric Flair is doing fine after surgery. He's recovering and he had surgery over the weekend. He will miss this weekend's StarCast, which is like the San Diego Comic-Con of wrestling conventions. Yeah. There'd be a bunch of cool stuff going
wasn't
on
that
up there.
Whole thing blown out of proportion? It was reported that he had a
medical... He's almost dead. Like, no, it was scheduled.
His wife was like, no, it's a procedure that he had planned.
Yeah, they're saying it's some heart surgery and post-surgery. He seems to be recovering nicely. And the last thing I wanted to hit on, the other big thing, obviously, that went down this weekend is the end of Game of Thrones. We talked briefly a couple of weeks ago when the season started up that none of us really big watchers of Game of Thrones. However, there is a poll on our website, WRAF.com. What's the worst series finale of all time? And that's essentially what I wanted to get out of you guys, because we've all watched some TV in our time. What is your...
Do you have the poll in front of you?
I do.
Any of my options were, I think, were actually on that.
Okay, because I was going to say, like, I want to know, like, what is the most disappointing end to a series that you got invested in? And then also retroactively, what are like some series that ended that you were like, that was awesome, that was really good? So let's start with the bad stuff, and we'll end with the good stuff
and end on a positive note.
Because the poll has a lot of stuff that I'd forgotten about that people were not happy with, like, for instance, the end of the first X-Files season. People weren't happy with.
I never got to the end when David Duchovny left. I kind of fell off.
Right.
It was Robert Patrick or Richard Patrick? Which one's filter? Which one's the
Richard
T?
Patrick is the filter guy.
Okay.
So it was Robert Patrick.
Robert Patrick was the T99 or whatever the hell.
The T2000?
T2000. Yeah, thank you.
No problem.
Cedric Diggory.
I feel so bad. Because Al's just looking at me like,
I know this.
He's like, Harry Potter fan. I'm part of the Slytherin house or whatever.
Were you not aware of the show you were on?
Yeah, I'm like, show. Sorry, Al.
Yeah, no, I don't care.
But yeah,
I own it.
Right now in the poll, leading with 28%, and actually the one that I voted for is the Dexter finale.
Again, another show I watched all but the last season.
I didn't get to the end of it, but I remember hearing about it and going, whew, dodge that bullet, because it didn't sound good.
Yeah, he became a lumberjack.
Yeah, it was something dumb.
Yeah,
it was
now he's like dumb. The brawny man.
Right. The coming up in second place, one that I did follow to the absolute end was Lost.
Yep.
People were very upset about how Lost ended, and I was definitely among them. I wanted more closure.
The biggest disappointment with the ending of Lost was that everyone figured it out.
Yeah.
And they denied it.
Right. You remember? No, it's not this.
Because that was a thing like that was so compelling about that show. And J.J. Abrams, I feel almost it hinders him in a way because he's so good at creating that question.
Yeah.
Like, because he does it in movies, too. I think that Super 8 had that, like, what the hell is going on? And
right.
I forgot about that movie.
Yeah. And you're like, wow, this is so cool. And every scene, you just keep compiling. And the problem that Abrams has is he gives you the payoff, and the answer is perfectly reasonable. But it never lives up to the question.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, okay, you know, like, oh my God, I guess that makes sense.
Didn't we just deal with that with Avengers Endgame too? Didn't they, over the last year, like, people were like, oh, there's time travel. And the creator's like, there's no time travel.
Yeah.
You're wrong. There's no time travel. And then there's time travel.
But that was the whole thing. Again, I mean, if you haven't finished Lost, I guess spoiler here, but, you know, like, it was like 2-3 years left in the series. Like, they're all dead, aren't they? And they're like, no.
Yeah.
I've watched like 2 episodes of Lost.
They're in purgatory, right?
Yeah.
No, not at all.
Not even remotely. They're on an island with a smoke monster and polar bears.
Cool. But the third place right now in the poll is the Game of Thrones, pulling down 17% of the vote. They also got How I Met Your Mother is on the list. Seinfeld, True Blood.
How I Met Your Mother.
I'm trying to remember how that ended. Some of these I don't remember how they ended them.
Yeah, How I Met Your Mother ended like this.
I remember now.
I think what the whole problem was, you spend this entire time hearing about the kid's mother, this wife that he's been pining after all this time, and you finally meet her, and they get married, and then she dies, and you find out he was just in love with Robin all the whole time.
I was like, oh. Like, so you've met the mom that's raising them.
In the second episode.
Yeah. And they took whoever the hell played Ted and just made him old man makeup instead of just being Bob Saget, who had narrated the whole goddamn thing.
Yeah, that would have been.
Should have just had it be Bob Saget, who'd been talking to us for 9 years or whatever.
They also have a couple of shows that I've never watched. The L Word, Girlfriends.
Nope.
True Blood.
Nope.
And Saint Elsewhere.
Nope.
Which I kind of remember.
An 80s hospital show?
That was, yeah. Okay. I kind of remember the end of Saint Elsewhere being kind of like a snow globe or something like that, and people not being pleased with it.
Never saw either. Is of those, any of those.
The Krampus ending?
But a little bit.
Okay.
Is there a show Krampus. That that was not on there that you could think of that like you got to the end of and you're like, ugh, that's it?
Then I don't know, not necessarily.
Yeah.
Like a Big Bang Theory just wrapped up, and I was like,
oh, right.
Thank God that's over.
Not a fan?
You know what? I really, really enjoy the early episodes, and the character development went in a direction that I didn't care for, and I kept watching it for a while. It was one of those things where I knew it was winding down. So, like, this last season, I didn't care for it at all.
I haven't seen any of it.
I didn't care. The last couple seasons I thought were terrible, but...
Yeah, I feel like once it started getting married and started popping out kids, when I was like, this is not really as cool as it used to be.
It's too much
real life. I don't want so much real life drama. I just want nerds making fun of other nerds, talking nerd stuff with weird pop culture references and some
jokes. You're on the right show!
Yeah, exactly. That's why we're here.
Right.
But
so I thought that entire show took it. So I almost... the finale was just, I think, last week, so it was actually a relief.
I haven't seen it yet. I'll probably sit down and binge watch like the last bit of it like one weekend or something. But
Seinfeld was on the list on the website poll.
Right.
That one's a contender.
On the reverse, what were some shows that you really, really appreciated? Because I when Jefferson used to be on the show, we talked extensively.
Oh, speaking of which, take a quick moment. Today is Jefferson's birthday, so a quick shout out to him.
Happy birthday, Jefferson.
Happy birthday, Jefferson.
Yeah.
You know, I might not hear this until after your birthday. So,
fair enough.
Happy belated birthday.
Yeah, I think he's 14 now.
Yeah, I'm about. Sounds about right.
He doesn't listen anyways. Once he left you guys, he's like, all right, good thing I'm done with that crap show.
He's still about 3 years away from legally being able to drive.
Then maybe he'll be back on the show again.
Right. But Jefferson and I, big fans of Breaking Bad, and felt that wrapped up really satisfying.
I agree. They did a great job of Breaking Bad.
Was absolutely the answer in my head to that question.
And I feel like that might be one of the only ones that I actually really, truly enjoyed.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, oh, okay.
I remember watching that, and that show, I watched the finale live. You know, didn't do the DVR thing. I wanted to watch it live. I still smoked at the time. And I remember the credits rolled. I remember, like, standing up and just quietly walking outside, lighting a smoke, and I was sitting there kind of thinking about what I just watched. And I was, like, really... really bummed out, and I remember thinking like, oh, that sucked, that was a terrible ending. Then I realized no, actually I'm just mad because there's no more Breaking Bad.
Yeah,
like that was the only disappointing thing, was I was never going to get a new episode of Breaking Bad, and that's what I was bummed out about. And I sat there and thought about, no, that was the perfect television series. I don't remember having a single episode that I was like, could have done without that one. It was compelling throughout the entire thing. So from the pilot to the finale, I still say Breaking Bad, the only perfect TV show I've ever watched.
I'm a little disappointed in you, Al.
Why?
That you didn't immediately blurt out MASH.
Oh.
How did the end of that one, man?
The end of MASH is great.
The war ends.
The war ends?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, the war that actually in reality lasted for 3 years ended after 11 years of television.
How many Christmas episodes did they do?
Oh, yes, it would be 11.
Oh, wow, okay. 11 years in Nam.
Yeah.
Did either of you guys big Sopranos fans?
Because
I remember that was a little controversial when it happened.
Yeah, I never watched Sopranos.
Yeah, that was controversial because it was did they whack Tony or not?
Right.
And it's heavily implied that they do, but you don't actually know. So I don't know. I've seen like a season and a half of Sopranos and really liked it. It's one of those ones I want to go back to. And when that show was on, I didn't have HBO, so it wasn't even an option.
Right.
So when I got HBO, I started watching it and got sidetracked.
Yeah. I know on the comic book side, I always tout Preacher as like the perfect, this is how you end a series kind of thing. The way Preacher ends in the comics is just perfect.
Which I do not recall how it ends at all.
Well, I'm not going to spoil it for you.
All right. Well,
go back and read it.
Go back to your stack of comics and find Preacher.
Well, maybe don't mention it just in case they end the show that way.
Oh, that's true.
So if there's someone listening who hasn't read it, and because the show's going to end after this season,
is the last
right?
season, right?
This is the last season.
Yeah, so maybe, don't mention the spoiler on there.
For sure. But, it's just it was the kind of thing. We'll
you
touch
can remind
on,
me off air.
For sure. We'll touch on this more because we were talking about the Robert Pattinson thing and all the, like, the fan
backlash and
people going online and doing the stuff. And maybe we can cover this next week, but I definitely am starting to have a little bit of burnout with the social media and the fact that, like, people are more interested in hating a thing they used to like than liking a thing.
Well, yeah, it's just...
And it's just exhausting. Like, when can we stop hating a thing we used to like and just move on to a thing we like?
Oh, the internet's just...
Well, maybe people should stop changing things that I love and making me hate them. I'm just going to put that out there. If you don't mess with it, I won't probably hate it. If you just keep it how it was, I might still love it.
Yeah, well,
I guess I need to know more, like, example of what you're talking about, but I feel like there's a lot of things that come up and I'm like, I'm going to hate that.
Yeah.
I'm going to change it. I'm going to hate it. So,
yeah,
but I'm more of a pessimist than an optimist.
Fair.
I feel like if I'm already going in my mindset, this is going to suck. And then it's just okay. I'm like, oh man, that was awesome. That was really good.
Both of us being wrestling fans, we've learned to set the bar low so that, you know, they can exceed your low expectations.
Yeah.
So, like I said, we'll get into that maybe next week or something like that. But that's this week's Nerd Radio. Thank you guys for, what's so goddamn funny, Al?
That's it. That's all we got.
That's it. I'm sure we're well past an hour.
The Jefferson Moore birthday special. Yeah.
That's right.
Well, good. I'm glad we're done because I got to go. When Al was talking about smoking a cigarette, all of that popped in my mind was like, yes, I do remember show would end and I'd go sit out on the patio. And
nice job, Al.
And smoke. And now all I can think about is, you want to smoke, James. You want to smoke, James. So we got to get out of here.
All right. Well, you enjoy that.
That's what I can smoke.
Hit us up on our social media, Nerd Radio 101. Like us, review us on iTunes or Stitcher or Spotify, wherever you're listening to the show. And come on back next week for some more Nerd Radio.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
Have a great weekend!
Golden Radio.
I know!
See you later, nerds.
And we're out.
How do you feel about it?
That's fine.
Okay.
Welcome to this week's Nerd Radio, all over the, your, wherever you, I'll do that again.
What?
That, man.
No, keep it, we keep it.
No!
We keep it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we'll do it live.
We're gonna keep it. We're gonna live with our flaws and mistakes.
This is Chuck worked an overnight this morning.
It's a long day.
Yeah.
But I can see the light. It's at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
And it's an oncoming train.
Yeah!
I like that.
I feel like that should be the start of the show.
Yeah, right.
Welcome to this week's Nerd Radio.
Well, hey, it's Al and James because Chuck killed himself.
Yeah, Chuck is, I guess he got hit by a train.
Yeah.
He saw this light. He kept talking about this light. And we told him to stay away from it, but
he was too curious.
Like a moth.
The light.
Flame. He had to go see what it was, and, well, hey, it killed him.
And now you have to use a Ouija board to communicate with me over subsequent episodes.
How cool of a podcast would that be if we could talk? Well, I guess Ouija board, probably not so cool.
Yeah.
A cool, like, voice box thing. Having those
we can hear it moving around.
Yeah. Let's communicate with Chuck right now.
Yeah. Y. No, it's like F. U. C.
It's really hard to DMX a Ouija board.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, we're just like, wow. What?
You get three letters in and you're like, nope.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.